This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's right, it's 6 o'clock. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, all of the fan, and of course, worldwide on CBS Sports Network. Well, there's an old statement on this show, an old thought process, that when a local team is having a tough time at home, the best thing for them is to get out of New York, go on the road, rediscover yourself, become a unit, play like a team, and figure out how to win games again. Well, every team's gone through it. Whether it was the Rangers this past year, whether it was the Yankees in the years past, the Knicks, you name a team, there's been a point when you had a tough time at home. So the New York Mets go on the road. That's going to solve their problems. Let's go play Arizona after, of course, being swept by Milwaukee. And you want to talk about unwatchable, boring baseball. They're getting one hit for the majority of the game. And the bullpen comes in after Wheeler does a good job. It's 1-1, and they lose 7-3. Okay. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
Yeah, I actually stayed up and watched this last night. I don't know why. I guess I was just,
you saw the Flores home run, too?
I saw it all. I saw everything. I saw every last stinking pitch. And, I listened to the guys talking about Wheeler throwing a lot of balls and a high pitch count, and he's not going to make it past six innings and all this other crap. And I got to tell you, it was it was about as deflating as it gets, because Wheeler did a very good job.
He did his job last night.
He was decent last night, and you know he got Goldschmidt to pop up and a couple times. And I just think that the damn outfielders for the Mets are going to have whiplash.
Yeah, you're lying.
I mean, and it's not even just the home runs. I mean, there are a lot of balls that are being hit to the warning track up against the wall. Bruce made a nice catch in right field last night.
Yeah, the one disputed a home run, which, of course, only saved them 3 minutes.
Of course. But I have to tell you that, it's to a point now where it is about, I just watch it because it's crash and burn. Because I'm waiting for the next guy to come in that's going to give up the home runs or going to give up hit after hit after hit. And I got to be, it's perplexing for Terry Collins. I mean, I don't know what else he can do other than keep trotting those guys out there. A lot of these guys have had success in past years. They've been one of the reasons why they've gone to the playoffs in a World Series. But, I mean, Hansel Robles is just throwing balls flat over the plate.
And last I'm thinking, 2 games.
He's going to be the next guy to go have his arm checked, because his ball is just as flat can be, and it's about thigh high.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's not getting any better. It's only going to keep getting worse. They are quickly becoming irrelevant.
They are the last and worst pitching staff in the entire National League.
Yeah, but you're right. But I look at it as relevancy, right? That's what we always talk about in the show. How long are you relevant? If you're not relevant, you're an afterthought, and no one gives a damn.
And if I have to watch Curtis Granderson swinging another bad pitch out of the strike zone for a strikeout,
right?
I'm like, he's been around too long for this to continue like this.
And here's the other problem: you can talk all you want about guys like Rosario and bring guys up or not bringing them up, or starting their clock and all this other nonsense. It doesn't matter. I mean, the reality right now is that you still got 120 games to go, and there's no end in sight for them when it comes to some good news. Like, where is Cespedes? When's Matt's coming back? Where's Seth Lugo? Where's something? I'm trying to invent a spark of life, and I'm not saying you can. You probably can't. But you have all these guys that are hurt, and none of them are ready to come back?
No, it doesn't look like it, but that's not really what
Terry Collins is dead.
Yeah, but it's not what he can't handle that part of it. He can only handle who the guys are that are in the uniforms. And the guys in the uniforms, I mean, again and again and again, fail and fail and fail, especially when you're in the midst of a losing streak like this. Now, they've hit the ball okay until last night.
Right. Conforto had a tough night, but he's going to –
it's
fair.
It's like going to have a crazy
night
every
night. He's batting 330.
Somebody else has got to pick him up.
Right.
And I'm telling you, the Curtis Granderson flailing at home plate now, you know, and look, Jose Reyes has gotten some hits as of late, but still, he played a decent shortstop last night. You know the amazing thing is last night? We got Conforto on first base. We got a rip down to third base. And I mean, it's tattooed. It's caught by the third baseman, and Conforto gets doubled off first. The inning prior to that, they got a man on first. They rip the ball to shortstop, and Jose Reyes makes a great backhanded play of a line drive. The guy on first is standing on first. In other words, we can't get a double play.
Right, right.
I mean, we run ourselves into mistake. I say we. The Mets are running themselves. Excuse me. Okay.
No worries.
Say
I get
that
it
right now, especially when we're losing.
I don't want to say it.
But they are running themselves into mistakes. And I know Keith is trying to kind of lessen the blow of Conforto's running mistake. But it is just I don't know what you do. I really this is. The amount of runs that they're giving up and the bombs that guys are hitting off of this pitching staff, I don't know what. And on top of that, you have guys flailing at home plate over and over and over and over again. I just want Terry. I honestly wish that Sandy Alderson would do something major here. I mean, and what I mean by major, cut somebody, get rid of somebody. It's unacceptable.
Right. There's listen. I don't think any of them are comfortable because they're playing like crap. But you know, you have a lineup that's I know this, it's one game, but you know, your first three batters last night go combined 0-for-12. Curtis Granderson's batting 148.
And it's not like they're playing against Chris Sale.
Right. Or, it's gotten to a point, frankly, where it's obnoxiously boring. Like you can lose and be entertaining. Like
it's not
take
boring.
The Brooklyn Nets.
It's not boring. It's frustrating. No. It's frustrating.
Boom, there's no giddy up, there's nothing.
The three games in Milwaukee, they hit home runs themselves. So it was like softball, you know? And last night was frustrating because, like I said, they're not going against Chris Sale. And they're not getting any hits. And then, of course, when the bullpen comes in, it's a complete meltdown. It's like you know it's happening. And I don't know when that's going to stop. I really don't. As Terry said the other day, the last game in Milwaukee, his relievers had 3 days rest. They were all rested. They were all fine. And they still came in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like.
It's brutal. It is.
I can't say that I've never seen anything like it because I'm sure I've seen something like it. But going through it right now, watching this horrendous bullpen is no fun.
No, it's like watching a softball game.
How long does this go on for? How long can this crap continue?
It's not going to boom. If the road trip continues the way it started, right? With this five straight losses now they have.
Yeah.
If the road trip continues in this fashion, they will not come home the same team they went out. And I hate to say that, but you know what's the knee jerk reaction? You know what it is. The knee jerk reaction is going to be Terry Collins. It's not fair. It won't be right. It won't be based on anything that he did specifically.
He's probably the only guy that knows what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, but he'll be the guy. He will be the fall guy. Remember this.
You see that conversation he had last night? Well, you didn't see it, maybe. But he had a conversation with Warthorn in the dugout towards the end of, you know, Wheeler's time on the mound. And they wanted him to go seven.
Right.
You know, they like, okay. But now all of a sudden it's like,
how much more do you trust him?
What else are we going to do here?
Right.
I mean,
he's looking at his pen going, which one of these gas cans am I bringing in? The whole thing sucks, and it sucks more this year than the average sucking of years with the Mets because you came into this season thinking this is going to be our year to win a World Series. Loaded pitching staff, young guys coming back, Cespedes in the greatest shape of his life, blah, blah, blah. That's why this might be the single worst Met year if it keeps going this way in the last 20 years.
Yeah, but you know what it is, Craig? It starts and ends with, it starts and ends with the injuries. I can't discount that. It's not an excuse. It's a closer. It's your best player. It's your number one starting pitcher. Your number three starting pitcher is a mental wreck.
Half your lineup's out.
I'm just trying to think. Your relief pitching is kind of like falling apart. I mean, it's like he's got nowhere to turn.
Right.
I mean, his new closer is a disaster, giving up home run after home run. Hansel Robles last two out, times out, just an absolute gas can. And we all know it. I mean, I'm sitting here telling you the obvious. We're talking about the obvious. Now the question is, and it's baseball. It's a long season. How the hell do you get yourself out of
this? Well, they're not good enough to get out of it. That's the problem. Will they win a game or two in a row? Yes, they will, for sure. You know, blind squirrel theory. They are not. The makeup of this team today could change a month from now, but the makeup of this team today is just not good enough to go on a long win streak. Boom, they're not. They don't have the offense to do it. They don't have the consistent pitching to do it. They clearly don't have the bullpen to do it. Then I read this story when I woke up this morning. Hey, good news. Cespedes is ready to start a running program. He's a professional athlete. They're going to take a week now to let him start running for a week. I view it this way. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm a NARP. You're a professional athlete. They rub the hamstring. You feel good about the hamstring. You stretch it out. You go out in the field. You jog. Jogging feels good. So now you sprint a couple times. Sprinting feels good. You do that for a half hour. No problems in the morning. Go get your bat. Go get your glove. And let's play baseball. He has a running program for a week?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, you know, there are other players in the league that are going through the same
Jesus
thing that he
Christ.
Is. I'm just telling you that
hamstring
they just
string out for a month and a half.
They just
grow up.
They just don't want it. They don't want to get it worse. They don't want him to totally rip it and then all of a sudden miss the rest of the season. I don't know. It's just it's amazing watching this. It's amazing watching the last five games. And it all started with a game that they should have won against the San Francisco Giants at home.
Right. They just gotten back to 500, four games out of first place, feeling like, okay, we weathered the storm.
And that was your familiar blow up, and then all of a sudden
Kazam, Shazam, Blazam.
He's got the blood clot in his shoulder. It's really disappointing. It is just so disappointing. And you know, two of the culprits, at least offensively, are Jose Reyes and Curtis Granderson. It's obvious. They're both under 200. They're not even remotely. But you can't get rid of now you can't get rid of Jose Reyes because Cabrera's hurt.
Right, and he's about to go in the DL. I guess he tore something in the thumb.
He's got a stretch ligament.
Which funny, he said he tore it. They didn't say that he tore it. Clearly he knows he tore it because the doctor told him he did. So he's going to go on the DL. So you're right, that saves Reyes' job. They claim that Mattson Lugo are going to do some rehab assignments Thursday, Class A. They think maybe by the end of May you get them back. Maybe.
Yeah, but Mats has been an injury waiting to happen.
I agree.
I mean, how many? He can't go like six straight
weeks.
Then
you have Travis d'Arnaud, not that he's any good. He's got a bone bruise in his right wrist. No timetable for his return. Cespedes may or may not start running this week. I mean, the whole thing's a joke.
Nice to have Lucas Duda back in the lineup. He went 0-3 last night. He's batting .218.
Meanwhile, the Yankees get back at it tonight. Big game for Sabathia. It's time for him to pitch a couple good games in a row. He didn't pitch well last time out. They're in Kansas City. That's an 8-15 start. And the Boston Celtics last night took care of business at home, game 7. And now you will get the Celtics and the Cavs. Meanwhile, at West, the story is off the court. And the big mouth of Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
In two areas. One, we get it. You don't like Donald Trump. You're right not to like him. No problem with that at all. When I watch an NBA game or an NBA press conference or anything NBA related, I have no interest in hearing your political stance on anything. I want to hear about basketball because I'm a basketball fan, right? Number two, yes, your best player got knocked out of the game because he came down on another player's ankle. They are claiming
on another player's foot.
Foot. To assert that in some way, shape, or form was done on purpose is a joke.
You know, it's kind of interesting. You watch the
It really is a joke.
I understand in basketball, putting yourself underneath a player like that is considered dirty. But I also saw Kawhi Leonard actually get up and run, and as he went to run, he twisted it again.
Right, now, no one wants to talk about that part.
Now, yeah, I don't know if it was weakened, and it looked like it probably was, the way he came down. You know, I was trying. It's funny. I was trying to tell the guys downstairs. Right. When you come in, the guys, yeah. The security guys
Coop,
down there.
What's up?
Coop screaming and yelling. He's like, "What is Popovich talking about?" I'm saying, Well, I said, what do you mean? What was he talking about? You talking about the politics? You talking about the basketball? I don't care about his politics. What about the basketball?
Right.
And I said, I know about the basketball. The basketball is that he and people in basketball think what Pachulia did was it's a dirty play.
It's not. Boom, I watched it 500 times.
I know you and I may not think that, but the people in basketball do think it. When you go underneath. And you definitely stick
he's
your foot out.
He's not underneath him.
He moved towards him. Craigie, I'm not saying that. I'm not calling him dirty. I'm just telling you what Popovich and people in basketball are saying about the play.
I understand.
That's all.
But you think he undercut him? I don't.
It's a nitpicky thing. They know the nuances of the game. They know how to do things.
I am buying it.
I'm telling you. They
I will
do.
Say this: though. Popovich did have a great quote. Even though I disagree with him completely, he said, and I'm quoting him now. Who gives a damn what his intent was? Have you ever heard of manslaughter? You still go to jail. I think when you're texting, you end up killing somebody, but may not have intended to do that. I mean, he's crazy.
Right.
Well, all I care is what I saw. All I care about is what happened. And the history there exacerbates the whole situation.
Well, that's the other thing.
And makes me very, very angry. Memo to Greg Popovich. You can watch it 5,000 more times. There is no intent at all to be underneath Kawhi Leonard to have him twist an ankle or do something else that hurts him. None.
I'm just telling you, people in
it's
basketball.
It's not even debatable.
I'm telling you, people who play the game of basketball, cover the game of basketball, understand what he's talking about. And the other thing I would say.
He's not even looking at him.
The other thing I would say, one of the reasons why Popovich is doing this is because he wants to get his team mentally fired up and pissed off.
I'm
telling you, the more pissed off he is, maybe the more pissed off his team will be, and they'll come out just like, you know, the Grizzlies. You saw what happened to the Grizzlies earlier this year.
Right.
Early in the playoffs. Their coach goes off on the officials because Zach Randolph's not getting hacked, but Kawhi Leonard's getting all the calls.
Right, right.
And the next thing you know, all of his team comes out and says, we're paying that fine for our coach because our coach is standing up for us.
Right.
And they played their ass off.
They
really did play their ass off. So I think there's a little of that mind game going on right now. And I think he's also trying to implore his guys to get angry and don't be accepting of the fact that this is the Warriors and that they're, you know, going right to the finals. I mean, you got to go out there. They got to come through us, and we're pissed off now. That's what I think he's doing.
Maybe he should have coached a little bit down the stretch there, and his team's blowing a 20-point halftime lead. Maybe look in the mirror.
Come on.
In any event,
one of the greatest coaches in basketball history.
Watch that play a million times. He did nothing wrong, nothing dirty. He wasn't even looking at Kawhi Leonard at all. The notion that was somehow done on purpose. It's patently offensive.
Yeah, but you don't have to look at a guy. You know how to do it. I mean, it's a subtle nuance.
He steps
nuance.
At him and that's it.
It's a subtle, nuancey thing.
No.
I'm not saying that he tried to hurt his ankle, but he did undercut him. And he knows better. And there was a foul called on the play anyway.
I don't even think he undercut him. He didn't come in body-wise so Kawhi Leonard falls on him.
Whatever. And plus, there's history there. So they know the nuance. It's just like at a hockey game. You know a guy. That's a dirty player. So if you are the Nashville Predators, you're saying that Ryan Kessler's a dirty player, that he's always spearing you with the stick. And that's what's going on in that series. And they're basically the coach of the Predators and the players of the Predators are all talking about Ryan Kessler and his dirty play and his
dirty play.
It's the same thing that Popovich is doing here.
How happy is NHL going to be when it's Nashville, Ottawa?
Well, Pittsburgh won last night, 1-0.
That'd be brutal.
So,
what happened?
Pittsburgh won 1-0.
Awesome. And
as a Ranger fan, just absolutely is.
Chafes your ass.
I'm watching this going, what the F are we doing?
Well, you're not
what
playing.
What are we doing?
You're not playing.
Well, we'll go here. I was playing over there in the. Some stupid world championships right now.
Meanwhile, we got some more NBA, some NFL for you, including the New York Jets. Remind me to get to that story later on. We'll get your calls.
Dude.
What?
This is the big story.
I'm going to get to that as well.
All right.
The New York Knicks are sending Clyde Frazier.
Come on, Clyde.
To the lottery tonight to see if he can bring some good luck.
I want
and get to that in the seventh spot.
I want Lonzo Ball for our show.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No,
now,
you
it's
don't.
It's unfortunate what happens with his mom. There's a story out about his mom that she suffered a stroke. And, you know, you don't really hear too much about that, you know, what's going on there. But they did allude to it. He and his dad alluded to it the other day. So I say that with tempered enthusiasm.
That you want Alonzo Ball.
I say it with tempered enthusiasm because having his dad back in New York again, because I think he was a teammate of mine for the Jets.
He was on the practice squad.
Yeah, I don't remember him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was on the practice squad. You probably didn't pay any mind to any of them guys.
No, I didn't. That's
practice
that's
squad crap. Kid.
I don't know how long he was.
He'll
here.
Give you a drink.
I told you, your man Rich Cimini asked me about this, and I'm like,
yeah, he was on. He had like a cup of coffee as a practice squad.
Yeah, how
the
long?
Jets.
How long was he there?
Well, however long the practice squad kept him. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Could have been all that long. Meanwhile, we'll get all your calls. If you actually made it through the entire Met game last night, I would love to talk to the cat that actually gets through the whole game.
I did.
Boomer did. Was he alone? Only 15,000 people even went to the game. Couldn't have been that many people watching it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.